process automation. So the lecture in general, we're now going to cover that. This will now automatically come in the introduction chapter, a little preview of what you can expect. And what we're doing today is actually just this introductory group of the lecture. We have three parts here. I'll first go through some general organizational additional information, meaning which chapters can you expect in the lecture, and where can you get information about them in the literature. Of course, there's much, much more literature than what I'm showing you, but I'm just showing you a few examples. After that, I'll give a brief introduction. For some of you, this will be more of a review or a refresher. That means I'll explain a few basic concepts related to process automation again. And then in the third part, we'll go into detail on how different processes differ and what a process actually is. I think we'll even clarify that already within the basic concepts. Okay, then we have the contents here, just the chapters written down one after another, but I'll also say a bit about each one. The first chapter, we've already seen. The second chapter is process data or process data processing, you could say. Yes, process data fits better because we start by looking at what a sensor looks like. That means, how do I even collect process data? How can I handle it? This goes much deeper in other lectures because this lecture is mainly intended to give you a very broad, very large overview. Therefore, we can't dive too deeply into individual topics. After that, we'll discuss what I need to do with the data once I have it, and I want to do online, meaning in real time at the process. What do I need to do? What do I need to do when analyzing afterward or when processing data from a database? What happens when I have very different data? Can I use them all directly or do I need preprocessing steps? All such questions, of course, not in detail, but the overview of what exists, what you might need to do, will be clarified in the second chapter. The third chapter is process modeling. I should say there are different lectures that also deal with the topic of process modeling. They're called, for example, Modeling and Simulation by my colleague, Frau Kirpin-Seliger. There, it's about continuous or discrete time systems. What we'll focus on here, or rather emphasize, are discrete event systems. That means systems where time, i.e., sampling time, doesn't play such a major role, but rather that things change at certain points in time, and then you need to follow those changes. You can do this, for example, with automata. And we'll look at PetriNets, which is a variant of description. Depending on the application, there might be better alternatives. Sometimes PetriNets are super suitable, sometimes it might be better to use a Mealy automaton. We'll look at one variant so you get a glimpse into it. Then we have the fourth chapter, process control and feedback control. Here, I'll mainly focus on aspects that come up in real-world applications at the plant. Most of you, or at least those in study programs with an automation orientation, have already covered many topics and many courses on process control or control engineering. I'll go into a few aspects that arise in actual plant operation, and we'll mainly look at control technology or classical control technology in industry, meaning, for example, programmable logic controllers, which is a standard in industry. We'll take a look at that. Again, it's more about discrete event systems rather than continuous systems, but not exclusively. Then we have three topics that all fall under the umbrella term process monitoring. The first is state monitoring, meaning simply checking whether a device, a system, is still in good condition or not. We'll look a bit at how this works, again more focused on discrete event systems. Then feedback control loop monitoring, meaning I'm not looking at individual components, but rather at the entire control loop and asking, does it still have good performance? Is it doing what I want or is it perhaps too slow? Is it generating too many oscillations? And what you can do about it? But as said, always an overview, not too detailed. And as the third topic, fault propagation, that means I know I have a fault. But in process plants, this happens quite frequently. If I have a fault, I don't get just one alarm message, but maybe 20 or even 100. And then the natural question is, which alarm message actually gives me insight into where the fault really occurred? That means I don't want to check all 100 possibilities and say, okay, after 3 days, I found the fault. But it would be nice if it said, I have 100 alarm messages. But actually, I know the fault started with this alarm message, or it doesn't even have to be the first alarm message that came up, but trace back. This fault generated this image. In the eighth chapter, we'll then look at reliability and safety. That means first, how can I determine how reliable my plan is? This is an important economic factor. A plant that produces quickly but fails constantly might not be as economical as a plant that produces less per unit of time, but runs continuously for 365 days a year. Then the second point, safety. You might need to differentiate a bit more in English between plant safety or functional safety, which is often referred to as such, and cybersecurity or information security. In English, these are two different terms, safety and security. We'll deal with both to some extent. And finally, there's a brief insight. Unfortunately, we don't have much time left for process optimization and maintenance optimization. That means, how can I make maintenance as efficient as possible, and what possibilities do I have to improve a process? For example, energy efficiency could be an optimization criterion that plays a role. Well, that's it for the brief overview.